So I'm sitting here with Michelle of Align Rehabilitation, and she is really growing and has something coming up on May 3rd.
On May 3rd, Align Rehabilitation will be having our grand opening of our brand new physical therapy facility. We are directly next door to Real Life Prosthetics, who has also expanded their lab as they build out their prostheses. So May 3rd is grand opening. I invite everyone to come tour both my brand new facility for physical therapy treatment, as well as see what Real Life Prosthetics has done with their new lab.
And what time is it?
It's 11 to 2, and then the ribbon cutting is at 11:15.
And so what's the address?
The address is 3435 Box Hill Corporate Center Drive, Suite C, Abingdon, Maryland, 21009.
You're listening to the Harford County Living Podcast. Thank you for coming, and please send any suggestions or comments to podcast@harfordcountyliving.com. The Harford County Living Podcast is produced for your enjoyment, and show notes can be found at harfordcountyliving.com. Come back often, and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. If you would like to be a guest on the Harford County Living Podcast free of charge, please contact us at podcast@harfordcountyliving.com. Now we will begin the podcast right after this. It's almost that time of year once again. That's right, Santa Claus is coming back to Joppatown on Sunday, December 10th at the Joppatown High School for the annual Joppatown Lions Club Breakfast with Santa and Holiday Bazaar. There will also be local craft vendors on site, so you can do your shopping while you and your kids, of course, are eating breakfast. Tickets are only $10 a piece, and children 5 and under are free, and you may buy tickets either at the door or online at JoppatownLionsClub.org. That's Joppatown with an E. They got a full menu: pancakes, waffles, bacon, sausage, eggs, juice, milk. You name it, they're probably going to have it. So make sure you make it down there. I also understand there's going to be some crafts for the kids to make. So once again, come to the annual Breakfast with Santa and Holiday Bazaar, sponsored by the Joppatown Lions Club, on Sunday, December 10th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Joppatown High School. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Harford County Living Podcast. Got a full table this time. We have, of course, Sarah for Four Seasons is back with us.
Good morning.
What if it's afternoon when I put this on?
Oh, good afternoon, good evening, good night.
We have Nydia Owens from, God, I'm going to pronounce it wrong already, Sapare. Right?
Yep.
Solutions. Okay. And we have Clint and Brian Michaels from State Farm Insurance.
Hello.
All right. Yep. So, Sarah, let's start with you first since it's the holidays. And actually, talk about two things, because we were supposed to do a Veterans Day podcast and it sort of got messed up. That's why it never went up on the internet.
Oh, it didn't?
No. I'm a bad boy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, with poor communication. We need to work on your communication skills.
What?
I didn't know it didn't go up.
Oh, well, it just goes to show me that you're not paying attention to the website.
That's
then.
Really not the point.
So you got two. You started another new business, right?
Yeah, because I have nothing better to do with my time, and I have all this free time running my kids 6 days a week to MMA and soccer, and the landscape company. So then I decided to start a construction concierge branch to the business. So we take care of everything now. Anything from, I say painting to paving, just because it circles back around the alphabet. So roofing, gutters, decks, additions, painting, paving, concrete, anything you can need at your home or residence. We do commercial as well. And basically, I'm a one-stop shop. Anything you need to have done, I come out to your to meet with you and talk about what you need to have done in your home, whether it's one or five projects. And then I, you know, put together the estimate, the contractors together that are going to do the work. I find that people often want more than one project done at their home. They don't know where to start, or they're calling companies that don't answer the phone. And then there's the whole trying to convince people you want licensed and insured companies. You don't want to just call, you know, your neighbor's stepson's girlfriend's brother or whatever. You know, you want to make sure they're a licensed insured company and not somebody doing it on the side, because at some point in time you'll regret going that avenue. You know, contractors want to do the work. They don't necessarily want to field 100 questions or answer the phone every time you call, but they're very bad about written communications. So it's kind of a niche that's kind of developed itself over the past few years, and I have a lot of really great relationships with contractors in the area, and so now I'm just kind of slowly starting to get everything together. I've done a bunch of paving jobs, decks, steps, that kind of thing seem to be popular right now. And it works really well for real estate agents. And commercial lenders, insurance companies, like anybody that needs licensed and insured contractors to complete work for whatever reason, be it, right. So real estate agents, you just send me over the home inspection report, and I'll get estimates on getting all the work done. You only have to deal with me. So you just, hey, what's the progress on whatever, as opposed to having to reach out to your electrician and your plumber and your this guy and that guy and whatever. You just one person, one central point of contact.
If we had a realtor here, we'd have all bases covered. We have the insurance agent. And then with all that, you need somebody to organize the stuff, too.
A to Z.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So in all my spare time, I decided this is going to be a good idea. And, So far, it's working out.
And with the holidays, too, yeah. You guys got the lighting going on, right?
Yes, holiday lighting. We purchase the lights. You pay for them, but we purchase the lights and install them for you. Because a lot of people don't want to, either they don't have time or they don't want to, get up on the roof and do the gutter line. And holiday lighting is not as easy as, like, wrapping a strand around a bush and calling it, you know what I mean? Like, if that works for you, that's fine. But there are people that want more intricate holiday lighting done, and so we take care of that. We wreaths and lighting, whether it be on your gutter line or icicle lights or your trees or whatever you're looking
for. Is there
for
a timeline? You know, you have to call, give you guys 2 weeks' notice, or what kind of lead time do you look for at that?
No, you don't have to. We have, next week is full already because we have returning clients that want their stuff set up before Thanksgiving so that on Thanksgiving Day they can turn on the timer and then, yeah, and it's done. And everything's done on timer, so you don't have to worry about it. So it'll come on, go on and off at a pre-scheduled time, I guess you can say. And then January, we come back out and take it down.
Hmm. Nice. Are the light chairs, or are they the customers?
No, they're the customers.
Okay.
So then we box them up, and we label them and everything. They come in, we put them in a like a Rubbermaid container and, you know, store them in your garage or whatever, and then check them the next year and make sure nothing needs to be replaced. And
I was going to say, what if they don't have a place to store them? Will you guys store them for them?
Mm.
Or should they call Nettie?
I can help them find a place to store.
Well, with it, it's usually everything fits in. I mean, we do have a client that has a few 6-foot wreaths.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they do have room to store.
What size is their door?
Yeah, it actually hangs on the side of the house. Yeah. And I want to say it's ridiculous. It's like 40 feet in the air or something crazy. These guys climb a ladder. It goes up in pieces. I don't know. But they happen to have room to store it all. But for the most part, your lights just are in a Rubbermaid container. It fits pretty easy, you know, in a garage or something.
Do they, when they purchase lights, do they, like, you have a catalog or a selection that they go through? Or?
So what we normally end up doing is suggesting the type of lights that we recommend that you install. Because a lot of people, I'm going to get this wrong, iridescent lights, people will attach like 10 strands, and I want to say that you're only supposed to attach 2 of them per
Watch
extension cord.
Watch your electric meter just spin.
Per extension cord, otherwise you can cause a fire, your electric keeps running, right. But the
LED lights are
lights, you can connect a lot more of them per extension cord, and they don't drain your electricity like the iridescent ones do. So the iridescent ones are not, they're not economical, and they're not really all that safe.
Can you even buy them anymore?
Yeah.
Really?
They're
okay.
still
yeah.
available.
Yeah. You can buy them at the dollar store.
I mean, yeah. So I'm not going to lie. I like the light that they give off better, but, I mean, I'm also not trying to have 17 extension cords running around my house because I want all of these lights. So, oh, but my house doesn't get done, P.S., and I'm throwing that out there for my husband's benefit because I normally actually start giving him a hard time like 2 months ago. And I don't know where November came from, so I'm slacking.
My
house doesn't get done, folks.
Should start there. Start at your house.
Yes, my husband says that that's free, and so he's not doing it. I run the company,
you go,
but I don't
Chris.
Get the lights. Right. I don't get the lights.
That's right. I'm going to hear it this year, too, because every year I've always turned my flagpole into a Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
I made the mistake of doing it once, and then my wife wants it done every year.
Are you not doing it this year?
No, I need a new flagpole.
Oh, okay.
You know, because it used to be easy to take apart, but we had a bad storm or whatever, and the winds, it literally, I thought somebody cut my flagpole.
Mm.
But it was, the wind, it just, you know, aluminum only lasts for so long, and it sheared it. So we had to redo it to fix it, and it's just a pain to take it apart. Which also gives me reason to get a new flagpole now. Now they have the telescoping flagpoles, which I want to make it a lot easier to do the Christmas tree.
Break it down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, because I don't do ladders.
You don't have one on remote? That would be pretty fancy.
Huh?
Flagpole on remote. You press the button, it comes down. You attach your lights.
It's a 20-foot flagpole, not something that goes on a camper.
But wouldn't that be cool if it was
on
remote?
Oh, well, I didn't make those.
No, I have no idea if they do or not. Yeah. But I'm patenting that idea if they do.
Oh. Well,
I don't know. You just set it out.
Yeah. Give everybody your number and how to get a hold of you in case they want their lights done.
Yeah,
maybe they'll come out and do yours, too.
Yeah, right. You can call Pam. She's anxiously awaiting your phone call at the office, 443-390-9273.
What's the website?
www.4seasonslandscapemd.com.
Is it spelled out four? Or
yes,
okay.
F-O-U-R.
Sure that's it?
Yes.
Okay.
Just
checking.
Pretty sure.
Brian, God, talking, you know, from that to insurance.
You can transition that.
Yeah, State Farm, you offer a little bit of everything.
Yes.
Well, I guess you could even say how important it is, talking about what you're doing with the contracting, I just saw this morning one of my friends posted, they live in a condo and the people above them redid the bathroom, but they redid it themselves. They didn't get any permits or anything, wasn't licensed, sure enough, it's all leaking down into his place now.
Mm. Right.
You know, but, how important is it for something like that?
Well, the nature of condos is you're trusting all your neighbors and stuff, too, because everything's intertwined there. Condos are a different kind of beast. It's owned by the organization, the condo association, and then we're just covering contents and upgrades, that kind of stuff. So there's multiple entities that get involved in a condo claim, so that's something that's it gets a little more dicey than just a normal homeowner's or renter's insurance type of claim. This time of year, a lot of people talking about the ice and snow and roadways, that kind of stuff. I guess I'll start first. Let's go roadways.
Mm-hmm.
This is out there right now. We're having daily conversations on this, but the insurance industry right now for the auto market, let's face it, there's more drivers right now on the roads than ever before in history. So more drivers. Gas is still relatively cheap from what we've had. When we were $4 a gallon, and you're talking about more accidents than ever before. So does anyone here, Clint doesn't count, and I brought along Clint Dairmaker is, he's been with me 8 years, Clint?
Eight and a half years.
Yeah. So he'll get into some things too, but what do you think the number one cause of auto accidents is in the U.S.?
Anyway? Number one cause? Distracted driving.
Distracted driving, by far. Actually, 8 out of every 10 accidents that you see on the road are distracted driving. 8 out of 10.
Has that increased?
It has gone up astronomically since cell phones came into play.
I was going to say, because with that, with I mean, at least in Maryland, it's illegal to talk on your cell phone or definitely text. But are the insurance companies going after the car manufacturers? Because you buy a new car now, you got the DVD screen, yeah. It's all built in. Yeah.
That's part of the other problem. These are the conversations we're having on a daily basis, too, is you used to be able to, not that it was a good thing, but you used to be able to rear-end somebody, and it'd be $800, and you could always say, $600. There's no such thing anymore, really.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Cars are smart, so there's sensors in them. There's, you know, it's different types of paint, the way that they go together, the mold types, the way all that fits together. There is no small claims like that anymore. So you'll have the customer call in saying, I'll probably handle this one on my own. And we're like, okay, and you can do it outside of insurance, and we have nothing right. to do with it. You can go, then we get a call the next day or, you know, 3-4 days later once the person's got an estimate. And they're like, holy cow, this thing was $2,200. Well, that's yeah. normal anymore.
And they'll mm-hmm. say, you know, I only tapped it. You know,
I just tapped it. I barely saw anything. But that's just the nature of what it's become.
Wow. I guess now that's why you're getting those cars now that stop by themselves.
Correct. Eventually, you're leading right into it there. It's the eventually, that's what's going to happen, is there should be less accidents. That's the theory. Less accidents, because the cars are, there's more drivers, but self-driving cars, cars that are stopping on their own, cars that are beeping for changing lanes, all, mm-hmm. should, at some point, when all cars have that, should reduce accidents, and that should help insurance rates come back down. But there has been a general trend in the last, you know, 3 to 4 years of auto insurance rates going up, and that's why.
Right.
Insurance companies are paying a lot more money. So that's the auto side. On the homeowner side, condos, renters, all that kind of stuff, freezing pipes. The last couple years, we've gotten kind of lucky. Last winter wasn't that bad. Yeah, knock on wood.
I have a funny feeling this winter's going to be very cold.
But those, and most people don't typically find those until the spring. So,
oh yeah, I've had
they break
the hose bibs and the pipes in the walls in the garage and the front of my house replaced.
Good, you said that because that reminds. My wife told me the other day to turn off the outside speakers.
Yeah.
And I forgot.
As soon as you start hearing freezing overnight, turn the bibs
over here in that water.
Maryland's funny like that, too, because a lot of times you may have December or January will be 70 degrees and, you know, people will turn on the, you know, hose or whatnot.
Yeah.
But you got to remember to shut the water off. Otherwise, you may have a problem.
A lot of times the leaking's on the inside. So you could be out there washing your car, have no idea. Finish mm-hmm. washing your car and you go inside and you've got, you know, a foot of water in your basement.
Yep.
So it's usually the first use. They've cracked over the winter and they expand and all that kind of stuff. And then they, once you turn them on in the springtime. So turning hose, actually disconnecting hoses is another key. A lot of people
right.
still leave hoses connected and mm-hmm. water expands. So that comes back up into the hose and can break from that way too. So mm-hmm. take it off.
Could also break your hose too.
Absolutely. Just put the hose. And then you got the ice damming, which is a lot of contractors getting this, but redoing roof type stuff. And a lot of times there might not even be damage to the house. It's just water in the gutters keeps getting frozen, coming
right.
back up, makes its way under the shingles and comes in the house. But there's really no damage to the house. And it melts and goes away. And it's like everyone's looking for a problem. And there may not have really been one. You just got to keep the gutters and stuff clean.
Yeah.
So it might just be a one-time occurrence. But that's
that happened to me, my house, oh my God, years ago when we had, it was a big, I mean, very bad ice storm. It was before 2000, so you weren't here. But it just ice piled up on the roof. And then when it finally started melting, I looked on my outside wall, front, you know, inside the house, and you could just see the water coming down inside the house on the wall. But come to find out, too, those roofs back then were very thin.
Right.
So eventually I had to replace the whole roof, but I think it was 1/8-inch. Thick boards on there. That was it.
Yeah, you don't even want to walk across
that. There was a class action lawsuit against the company that uh-huh. actually built them years ago. But for some reason, a lot of people in town didn't,
mm-hmm.
you know, go through with it. They just, or they, I guess they went through with it, but they probably didn't replace their roofs. They took the money for something else. Who knows? So.
Well, the biggest thing with these claims, I get into, and yeah, Clint can get more into this one, but what we do in our office is insurance is proactive. It's not mm-hmm. a reactive type of thing. You think of it as reactive because the claim happens, let me call it in. But you've got to know ahead of time and actually sit down with someone. You really should sit down with someone and review your policies probably every 2 to 3 years at least.
Yeah.
We encourage every 1.5 to 2 years because things change. Again, we'll get into it in a second, but some of the things we find, and we call them insurance reviews, we find some biggies that, you know, people had no idea. So you've got to be proactive on and actually looking at policies. When we bring on someone new to State Farm and they bring their policies in from their current insurance company, we dissect them, you know, and just see, is it right? Does it match what you really should have and should need? And again, you find doozies in there. Not all policies are created equal, and you can't just look at the bottom dollar amount. And Clint can probably get a little bit more into that.
Well, who wants to read 100 pages?
Nobody.
Of the policy?
That's why you should have an agent, to be honest with you, to say here's what you should have. So have somebody that's in your corner to help with that.
Some of the biggies I see when I'm starting, let's say, a new business quote, going through the homeowners. A lot of times I find that people's dwelling coverage is way underinsured because previous company was not counting their finished basement that they have, for example. So they may have, you know, 500,000 square foot in the basement. Right. Now they're, you know, 50,000 to 100,000 underinsured. Or they did an addition that was never added on, and it's not there. So the house burns down, guess what? It's not going to be built, you know, basically the way it was. Other things as far as coverages, limits, back of a sewer drain, maybe wait, you know, they may not have it. It's one of the, probably the number one claim in Maryland, or maybe severely limited. So I don't know if you guys remember, like, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago, we had that, you know, 5 foot snowstorm and then a 5 foot snowstorm and then,
and then the melting and then a rainstorm after the snow.
Yeah. All the power went out, everything else, and flooded basements.
Was that 2012?
Something like 11 or 12.
We didn't have enough phone lines in my office.
Yeah.
For the call-ins.
Yeah, we had, I mean, there's a lot of people that were calling that were insured with other companies, and they were upset. They wanted to change their insurance because they didn't have that coverage. You know,
too late,
exactly.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I was going to say, with that, because you hear a lot about, like, flood insurance for homes, but a lot of people don't have it because
they're not a flood zone, so no one's
forcing
them.
They're not a flood zone, but what if, let's say, your hot water heater breaks, and you're away, you come home, you have water everywhere. Wouldn't that be...
Yeah,
that's burst pipe, so that's a covered loss on pretty much every policy I've ever seen. I don't know if it isn't, but yeah, burst pipes are fine.
So there's a difference between flood insurance and, say, backup sewer drain, that type of thing. So water damage, you know, from hurricane, you know, rainstorm, that type of thing, that's the covered loss under a regular policy. But flood insurance is standing water rushing through the home. So
coming in a window, coming through the floor, coming in the front door, high water pouring in.
It's a different coverage through FEMA.
That has nothing to do with your normal homeowners policy.
And the reason I ask that is because a friend of mine, they couldn't get flood insurance because they weren't in the floodplain or whatever. But yet their slab sunk down from the house. And they had to have they had to pull everything out. Flooring, everything, you come in and have a company come in and jack up the slab. I think I may have asked you about this because there was an underwater spring, but insurance wouldn't cover it.
It's earth movement.
So,
that's the answer for everything.
Yeah, now if that water came through the sump pump and you do have a good policy that has backup sewer drains with good limits on it, because that's another catch. We see a lot of policies come through where the limits might be 5 or 10,000, and to a fully finished basement, to clean it out, to fix all the walls, to replace all the stuff damaged, $5,000 or $10,000 won't do it.
No.
But there's a lot of those policies out there, and again, the consumer a lot of times doesn't know. Mm. And that breakdown might be on like page 8, 12, something like that, where all the rest of the coverages might be up front. So you sometimes have to look.
Right.
So that's why it's having someone has a trained eye just to kind of glance at it with you never hurts. That's what I always tell people. We can look at it, never hurts. If it's a great policy, you want to keep who you got, leave it. But let's look at it.
What about, and I'm sure you'd be able to answer this, because this is another problem I see a lot of people having with their homes, especially when you live near woods and all. Termites. I mean, is there like a termite insurance? No?
Insect rodent damage, no. That's kind of wear and tear of a house. Like, for that, you're supposed to keep your house maintained. So that's, you know, that's, we can't.
Right.
So you could have a house out in the middle of the woods.
Right.
And of course, at some point, they have stacks of wood right up against the house.
Which is a big deal.
They're going to probably have termites at some point.
Right.
It's how it just became as a maintenance issue. That's not considered a sudden claim that just happened, like a tree falling or a windstorm or hail damage. That's usually the best way to describe a homeowner's claim happened at one time.
Bats in the belfry, not covered.
Yeah.
Yeah, bats in the belfry, you better go to the doctors and get the shots too.
Yeah. Wow. So again, water coming up through a sump pump hole is covered if you have backup sewer drain. So that's where it may be raining real hard outside and water, you saw water. How did it come in the house? If it came through the sump pump, it's good. Right. It's covered if you have if you have that endorsement. But if it came through window wells, underneath doors, all that, that's runoff water. That's not a homeowner's policy. So that's what we see that. And that's what those insurance, I'll give you a couple examples and maybe Clint can throw one or two in here, but we've been doing these for so many years, these insurance reviews, just our existing customers, just bring them in, let's sit down, let's look at what's changed. You haven't, you know, who's the new drivers, teenage drivers, this, that. And some of the ones that I've had, one of my most memorable ones was a guy who doubled the size of his house. 2 years before, you know, prior to us meeting, he doubled the size of his house. We had insured for the original house. Nobody ever called us. Like, how were we supposed to know?
Oh.
So we start to go through the rebuild calculator, which we do that on many of these insurance reviews. Let's look at, is your house insured right? Because I don't care what we insure for as long as we can rebuild it. You know?
Right.
I don't care what you paid for it. I don't care what it's worth. Can we rebuild it? Mm-hmm. So that was his issue. He's like, yeah, we had it on a couple years ago. We doubled the size of it. Well, you would only get half a house if it burned to the ground. You know that? You know, it was never a thought by anybody to contact us. So that would have never gotten picked up on a company that wasn't reviewing them. You know,
right.
Just having a, because it never came up in conversation anywhere else.
Oh, it's good that you guys do that, because how many homeowners are just going to sit there and say, oh, let's review the insurance?
A nice Saturday afternoon.
Well, no, seriously. I mean, because we used to have an in-ground swimming pool and got rid of it, but I never called the insurance company. Mm-hmm. I never even thought about it, because, you know, you figure everybody always wants to buy a house with a swimming pool, you know, and apparently it increases the value of your house.
Maybe.
One of the things I found out after my insurance company had called me, and I told them, I said, yeah, it's been gone. It dropped my insurance.
There's something
it's
you have to.
It's not liability anymore.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, you got to think about liability. Anytime we have a customer who says they're putting a pool in or it has a pool, we talk about an umbrella policy. It's an excess liability policy that covers if someone gets injured there, someone drowns there. You can have all the signs you want around saying don't trespass, but if a neighbor's kid jumps the fence, your policy's still getting used.
Yeah.
So pool equals extra liability coverage. You just have to. I feel the same way about new drivers. New drivers should have you should add extra liability. Yes, it's more expensive, but they're more likely to have that accident than you are, so you're getting sued with them. They're driving your car.
I'm just telling my daughter to wait until the driverless cars come.
That's right.
See, all I see with that is somebody can hack it. I watched NCIS.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
but you think of all the cars nowadays, you buy a new car, most of it's on usually one wiring harness. So if something electric goes up,
where's it going to go?
Right. Yeah, your whole car's down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, granted, there are some out there you have separate wiring harnesses, which are good.
I think the benefits outweigh the risks by far. I mean, the chance that the one car gets hacked and, you know, the chance of getting in a car accident when we leave this room is significantly higher than something like that, so.
Yeah. Yeah, especially the way some people come flying around here.
More drivers on road.
This time of year, too, always like to throw out the reminder, watch out for the deer. Slow down.
Out for deer. Watch out for deer. It's something I tell people.
They always have a friend. That's what my mom always told us. If you see one, they always have a friend.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, too, and I for years, people drive on me around, motorcycles. A lot of, as we like to say, four-wheelers or whatever, don't look out for the guys on the motorcycle. Mm-hmm. You know, you see a lot of that, too. And tractor-trailers.
Don't get me started on tractor trailers.
Here's the thing: what a lot of people don't realize, you'll see cars and they'll pass the tractor trailer and come in front. They don't realize that tractor trailer takes more time to stop.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Especially
however, there are also plenty of tractor trailer drivers out there that are not properly trained. The companies don't care.
True too.
All they need to make sure of is that you can drive forward. They don't even care if you can back up. And like coming here today, somebody pulled on to 152 or no. Coming off 152 onto 40, tractor trailer. There's plenty of room for him to stay in that his lane. No, all the way over. And I was doing 60 miles an hour,
Oh, so you're exceeding the posted speed limit.
By 5 miles. Give me a break. You're lucky that's all it was. My car's the only one that's not tracked, by the way, for speed. My insurance company is State Farm. I'll throw that out. And they call me. I mean, we go over my policy every year. Because I'll forget. You know, we added a piece of equipment or we sold something. Luckily, my agent is also a friend of ours, so he
knows
mm-hmm. what's sort of going what's on. Yeah, what's changing. So we sold a trailer last week, and I never thought about telling him, like, what's it going to drop my policy, $12? I mean, whatever. But he's like, hey, I need that information on that trailer you sold. I was like, how'd you even know we sold a trailer? He's like, it was on Facebook. I need the information on the trailer.
I was going to say.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll get that for you.
That's another point with State Farm, though. It's largest company, the largest insurance company in the country, but nobody sees it that way. Everybody sees it as the local agent. It's just your local contact agent's office with everyone in there, and you get to know them, and just like that, you get to know your customer. So a lot of times we can help you be proactive just because we know you. You just can't get that with
I was actually insured with Brian times. Before I started working for him. So I moved to Maryland, and I ended up getting insured with him, and I bought a house, and went up to the office to meet him, and he's like, hey, you want some mulch? You know, like, I just moved in the house, you know, and he's out there putting out mulch, and he had extra.
We loaded his truck up with mulches, and he went and mulched his house with my leftover mulch from the office.
Don't put the mulch by the wood pile by the house.
Might have termites. Although I know a guy, so.
Now, what types of insurance, because you're hearing about all different types of insurance.
Yes. The main things that we do, it's a lot, but, I mean, State Farm has opened up to pretty much most types, but it's auto insurance, homeowners insurance, renters, condos, small businesses. We do a lot of business and contractors. Life insurance is actually a side thing, but that's probably my favorite one to talk about. Right. And then disability.
Long-term care.
Yeah.
And also banking. You
know. One of the things I've been hearing a lot of people get, I don't understand, but they get it anyways, pet insurance.
We do not offer that, but okay. That's through more internet-type companies. And, okay. But it's a booming thing. I mean, pets, people spend a fortune on their pets.
Oh, I don't know.
Who knows if that'll come down the pipeline someday, but it's definitely out there.
Life insurance, I'm going to have to get you on for another podcast for that, because, I know we can sit here and talk all day about life insurance.
Yeah, that's the one I get the most passionate about. You know, I'll keep it quick on that one, but it's just that's probably the product that's most misunderstood out of all of them. And it's the one that nobody's forcing you to sit down and talk about, and it's not an easy subject to talk about. I mean, how do you just say, you know, when you die? I mean, that's about the only way to say it. But, but someone's forcing you to get auto insurance. Doesn't mean you have to always pay your bill. Someone's forcing you to get the homeowners, the mortgage company is. But when it comes to the life insurance, it's nobody. There's nobody that's saying, hey, you've got to do this. You've got to protect your family. Your family's number one. That's, in my opinion, it's more important than home and auto insurance. What's my family going to do the day after I die? You know,
funerals aren't cheap.
Funerals aren't, and my paycheck's gone.
And it's amazing.
The next day, so what happens?
Yeah.
It's amazing, too, like, as far as people's budgets, the way they prioritize things. Like, we may, you know, offer some life insurance and they're thinking $20 a month, and it might be, you know, for what their needs, it might be 50 to 100, and they think that's huge, but then their cable bill's 200 and their phone bill's 100, you know. So where's the priorities?
You could live without those things, technically speaking. I know it's hard to say that, but you could live without those. But the life insurance, really, the family can't. And we've had too many instances that we've had just with our own customers that we've seen where we've had the conversations talking about it, never happens, and then something bad happens, and they're not ready. And you know, we get those calls where some people call in asking if their mom took out this or did my dad have that.
I think the average cost, like when somebody dies, I think cremation is like $5,000. I think the average cost for a burial was like $10,000.
I think both those numbers are kind of cheap from what I've been hearing from customers, but yeah.
And that's just the immediate basic cost. Yeah. That's not including replacement of income. You know, there's mortgage, college,
bills,
you know,
debt.
They're not there anymore. You know,
see, my grandparents already had their plots and everything paid for, so it was strictly the funeral costs. And they had the exact same thing. My grandmother's was $50 more because she wanted to make sure her hair was done. But it was $10,000 a piece for them.
And that's just, you know,
that's basic, probably.
That's just the funeral home. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You're not talking, and you're, I'm imagining, you know, they're not necessarily financially contributing to the family at that point. You take the person who is the primary, you know, financial contributor out of the equation, and
the next day is totally different. Yeah, so you've got to protect family.
And you mentioned primary. The other person, even if they're not working, they're contributing huge.
Oh, huge.
You know, now someone is a single parent, you know, what now, how are they going to do the same job they were doing, you know, handling children, taking care of things, you know, all the things
house
that were done.
Care.
Yeah. So there's a financial factor in that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
It's actually a responsibility is what it is, but nobody's forcing it on you. So that's what we try. That's what we try to do. That's what our reviews are for. Let's just talk about it. We can't force you to do anything, but we'll just talk.
Now, how do people get in touch with you?
They can go, you know, it's old school as far as company goes, where it's the agents, you can walk in and all that, but it's very much new school because now we do texting, we do email, websites. So
you can
see it's our Facebook. We have a Google and Facebook site that a lot of people are now using a lot more, so you can look up Brian Michaels. Either one of them, Facebook or Google, and you'll find it that way. Phone number, office number is 410-638-0101. The office is actually located in downtown Bel Air. Been there for 17 years.
Whereabouts in downtown?
On the corner.
That just sounds weird. Whereabouts in Bel Air?
Downtown. It's the corner of Hickory and Broadway.
Okay.
Somewhat near St. Margaret's.
Yeah.
Okay. I passed by your office the other day.
A lot of people remember the office from when I bought it in 2004. It was needed a lot of work, and there were a lot of trees and stuff. So first thing I did when I got it was I took down all the trees, and then all of a sudden people noticed the property. Like, mm-hmm. They didn't even really know it was there, and then a lot of people were like, wow, and it has that much little land with it, and it has this and that. And then we just got into the guts of it. Literally, I took that house. My dad and I did most of the work. And because I couldn't afford to pay a contractor and everything, but we have a past of working on houses too, so we knew what we were doing. So I was the general, and I'd hire in a plumber, electrician, this and that.
Right.
But we got it was plaster walls inside, gutted the entire thing,
all
new
windows,
the red shag carpet.
Farm red.
Got it out. It was State Farm red, actually. So got all that out of there. It was an absolute mess. Dug trenches to put lights in, you know, on the sign and all that kind of stuff. And the house was actually built in 1860, and it was added on to in 1920 or something. So
yeah,
not the blue house.
No, it's white with maroon shutters.
Okay,
yeah, right on the corner. Had a lot of surprises in there. You know, when we did the gutting.
The bats in the belfry.
Right. Something else that rhymes with bats. It was rats. They were up in the. They weren't alive, but the carcasses were up in the ceilings.
Oh, that's even
and stuff.
Worse.
When you pull down the ceilings, and these, it was crazy. I found a little Morse code toy under the front porch. I found canvas shoes from the turn of the century up in the attic, and it was actually kind of neat. You'd find.
You turn a room into a museum.
I didn't keep much of any of that. I kind of wish I did. Found newspapers from the 20s. Liquor bottles were inside the walls when they were doing the plaster. And I think this is fairly common, but they just put their liquor bottles inside the wall when they were done drinking. And you find
this from the wife.
You find them years later inside the walls. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff in there. Money under floorboards here and there. So kind of fun, but yeah. So it took a house that really needed a lot of work and transformed it, which I'm very proud of it too. That turned
and you
out,
actually took
it.
Out the plaster walls.
Yes.
Wow.
It was. I've got
that's
a 30-yard dumpster, and I swore that I wouldn't get a second dumpster. I wanted to put it all in one load, and so I was very strategic how I packed it. And when it went, I think it lifted the front of the truck up in the air when they lifted it up. But the guy right away said, this is going to be heavy. And I think I was allowed up to 5 tons or 4 tons or something like that. 3, 4, 5, somewhere in there. When I got the bill, it was 12 tons, 12 and a half tons.
Oh, my God.
Wow. That was a lot of plaster and wood, and yeah, it was packed very strategic, so... Yeah.
Now, when you finished doing all that, did you by chance call Nettie to come in and organize everything for you?
I didn't know Nettie back then.
What a good segue there.
Had you. You might have. Yeah, you might have.
A professional organizer, explain to us exactly what it is you do.
It's such a wide field.
I'm just
going to
call you Niecy the rest of the show.
She's the hostess, right? Not the organizer. So it's a pretty wide field. It can range from, you know, having some help organizing a closet and getting shelving ideas and design ideas for that area. It can be productivity consulting or coaching. It could be specialty organizing, like, you know, helping with issues like ADHD and hoarding and anxiety and depression. Or it could be, you know, you're moving and you need some help with getting things ready for the move, or you've moved or you've done a big remodel, you want help putting things back so it makes more sense. So it's a pretty wide field. So if you say organizer, you do need to ask that person, you know, what is it that you specialize
right.
in? Yeah.
You said ADHD?
ADHD. So I'm going to put my medical hat on just briefly and give you an idea. So my specialty is in chronic disorganization, which means I work with people who have had challenges in organization for as long as they can remember. They've tried other solutions and haven't been able to maintain whatever systems they put into place. It's affecting their daily living and they just don't see a change coming in the future. So most of the time, people are calling because an organizer because they're having trouble organizing. And organization is a skill that happens in your brain. So there's a part of your brain called the prefrontal cortex, which if you touch your forehead, that's right where it is. So right here in the front of your head. And it controls executive functioning. And executive functioning is your ability to organize, manage your time, set goals, prioritize, inhibit action, and use working memory. Working memory is your ability to take this piece of paper and walk to the other room and remember what you were about to do with it, holding Wow. two ideas in your mind at the same time. So...
He's
just sitting here with his mouth open. Great response.
I can do that. I'll go from one room to the next, get to the room, be like, what was I coming here for?
Right.
I just figure it was an age
thing.
That's
old age. Right. Well, so
it can be age related. It can be that you didn't get enough sleep or enough water or enough exercise or the right kind of food, because those factors really affect your executive functioning ability. It takes the most energy for your brain to use that part of its capability, and it's the first thing to go offline, which is why in the morning you wake up and you're like, oh yeah, today I'm going to get all this stuff done, and I've got this whole grand plan, and if I'm on a diet, I'm going to stick to the diet, I'm going to eat all these great things, and by the evening, you're eating cookies, watching TV, and nothing's happened.
Described last night.
I know. So that's my specialty. My specialty is helping people understand how their brain works to create an environment that supports the way that they think, the activities they want to complete, and the future goals that they have.
Interesting.
Yep.
I might be beyond help, though.
it's a rare case that it's not beyond help. It's beyond my scope. But maybe just a different specialty that somebody would need.
So you're not just organizing for them; you're helping them create systems to
absolutely.
Keep themselves.
So, yep, I'm helping a person create systems, identify what's serving them and what's not. So this is that decluttering process. I just put that in air quotes, so that you're really focusing on the kinds of things that you want to be engaged in and having the stuff around you that helps you do that.
Huh.
You get to know these people very well.
Yes.
Yeah,
usually for a person to pick up the phone and call and ask for help in this particular area, it takes a lot of courage. And usually they've been struggling for a little while before they say, you know what, I could use a helping hand here.
And how long have you been doing this?
Since 2004.
What made you get into something like this?
I had just moved here from California, and I didn't even know the organizing profession existed, because even now it's still fairly young. We're talking
right.
like, you know, 30 years or so that it's been around. And I was looking for something to get involved in, you know, when I moved out here. The TV shows were just coming on, so you had Clean House, because you mentioned Niecy
yeah.
Nash, and Clean Sweep, Mission Organization, and so I'm sitting around in my new home going, watching TV, flipping through the channels, and I found the shows. I thought, that's pretty interesting, and then I grabbed a book and was reading about it, and there was one other thing that happened. I ran into somebody who was providing subcontracting for another organizer in the area. And I thought, whoa, this isn't just on TV. This is actually a profession. And so I researched it and decided, you know, I wanted to step into this field. And right off the bat, the first client that I had would have been considered chronically disorganized, and I didn't even know what I was doing. So in the years that came after that, I've gone through a certification process. It's about a 2 years master's level program to gain the knowledge to be able to work with that specialty.
There's a certification to become?
There wow. is. So you can get a certified professional organizer designation through NAPO, which is the National Association of Professional Organizers. And it's sort of a generalist kind of a certification. You have to work, I think, 1,500 hours. There's an exam. You have to stay certified and do continuing education. The certification that I went through is through the Institute for Challenging Disorganization. And as I said, it's more of a master's level. There's research that you have to complete and case studies and things like that in order to receive it.
Now, you started, what year was this?
2004.
2004. Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to build up a business?
Not long.
Really?
No. You know, Once I just put my shingle out there and said, this is what I'm doing, there were people who were interested. There was a shift when, there were a couple shifts in my business. The first came when I had my second child. So I ended up going on bed rest and overnight had to transition my company from me being the person who provided the organizing to finding somebody who could take on all my clients and teach all the classes. And
oh, wow. Mm.
So I literally, that person who stepped in, her name's Jennifer Merkel, and I still work with her. She sat on the floor in my living room, and I taught her, you know, this is how I run my business. This is how you work with the clients. And she went out the next day and started. So that was my foray into having employees.
Wow.
And then, you know, as I, the more that I reached out and let people know what was here, the more people came, and, you know, it's grown from there.
Mm-hmm. And how do people get in contact with you?
So there's a couple different ways, and it really depends on what you're looking for. So okay. As I mentioned before this all started, it's not on the recording, there's a lot of different areas that I work in, but all of them, that undercurrent is that chronic disorganization. So if you're looking for residential services or things that pertain to you personally, you can go to SappariSolutions.com. It's SappariSolutions.com, solutions.com. And there's a chance there just to click and schedule time to talk to me. That's free, just a chat, see what's going on and, you know, what's changed for you that you're looking to reach out for help. Lots of resources there and information to check out on your own. You can find me on Facebook, same thing, facebook.com, Sappari Solutions. And but if you're looking for productivity in your workplace, you know, time management, things like that, I've set up a new site, Sappari Consulting. And if you go there, SappariConsulting.com, there's a link to follow. You can do a 5-minute desk makeover, reclaim your office. I know, it's great.
Wow.
5 minutes to kind of come back to a sense of normal. So I'd encourage you to check that out and see if that can help you. Let me know how it goes. And again, if you want to talk to me about those needs, I'd be happy to have a conversation.
I don't know how to ask.
Usually just spitting it out is the best way.
Do you think that some people may be embarrassed?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that's why I said it takes a lot of courage, because typically there's a lot of other stuff that's going on. It's not about the stuff. Normally, it's not about the stuff. And by the time they reach out to me, they've heard that they're lazy. They've heard that they're a slob, or, you know, they feel like they're dumb or stupid in some way. They can't keep up with it.
They feel like a loser.
They really do. And they've been unsuccessful in other areas of their lives. And so it's really impacted their relationships, their space, their goals. And, you know, I come at this from a strengths-based perspective. I really feel like everybody here was given some amazing God-given talents. And and they may not be organizing, and that's okay. So if that's, you know, if that's what's happening for you, then I'd like to help come in and show you some tools that you can use to support you. I'm not looking to make you the world's best organized person, but give you the tools that make your environment work for you.
Sounds like there's a lot of psychology involved in this, too.
A little bit. But that's also my interest, so I always like to look at the science behind it.
Interesting. Now, I don't...
Where to go next?
Yeah, because, I mean, it's not... That's not what I was expecting when you came in. The chronic...
Disorganization.
Disorganization.
Yeah.
And, I mean, sometimes I feel like I got a lot of clutter in my head.
Yes.
You know, especially when you're getting a million things to do. But you said something about classes. You teach classes?
I do. So I have a couple ways that you can take a class from me. I've taught classes for years at Harford Community College.
Okay.
Different organizations have hired me to do training either on-site for their workplace or for their group, community groups. I've taught nationally, and I have different webinars that I'll run. You can go to my website to see what's coming up next. But I also run a class every third Thursday in Bel Air called the Simple Living Discussion Group. And it's just a great way to ask questions, get started, and find some support. So we have one coming up this Thursday. Good timing. Thursday's November 16th at 7 p.m. It's at the MedStar Building in Bel Air, which is right behind the festival. Or kind of a look, you know.
But it's always the third Thursday.
Always the third Thursday, 7 p.m. Yep, okay. At that MedStar Building. So you can pop in and check it out and see, you know, see
any
if there might be some
work
help
with children or teenagers.
I was just getting ready to ask that.
You do.
I assure you, mine's laziness.
I have yet teenagers to meet a lazy person, so usually there's something else going on.
Well, I think with the kids, too. I mean, they're always on their computers, phones, or whatever.
Right. And I mentioned that, you know, that brain-based organizing and executive functions earlier. That part of your brain isn't fully developed until you're 25 years old to 30 years old. So your ability to organize, manage time, think about it. You have teenagers who are willing to take risks because that part of their brain isn't fully developed yet.
You learn something new every day, right?
So, you know, until a child is up to 6 years old, they're not going to be able to clean a room on their own. That's something that you still are going to come alongside. And even at age six, then you're still giving them, you're breaking that task down into smaller and smaller pieces. And, you know, you're going to go in your room and pick up all the books and then report back to me. And you break it down until you can, help them along the way, because they don't have that skill yet. So
I have two extremes. I have one that everything has a place, and every day we make the bed, and there's no mess on the floor, and you don't add anything to his room.
Right.
What's there is there. There's no additions, there's no subtractions, it's just is. And then I've got the other one who is constant state of chaos.
I have the
just
same problem.
Stuff.
You just described both mine. Yeah.
Just stuff.
Yep.
Everywhere. Can't get you to make a bed and put the pillows and the blankets on the bed. And all the
Why don't I just make it? I'm just gonna get messed up tonight.
Oh, it's painful.
Yep, mine's the same way.
Yep.
She gets it from me, I guess. Huh?
I don't know.
I've actually heard some of that. I watch a lot of football, and with all the concussion stuff, I heard them say that a lot of those with the concussions, that something's not developing until 2023. So it's probably in line with what you're
referring to. And it's most susceptible to damage. So with concussions, you know, you'll find that people, are less inhibited and have a harder time planning and, you know, goal setting. So I have worked with folks who have suffered with traumatic brain injury, and then working with them becomes managing their energy levels, because they're using their brains, which are, you know, this is going to sound not the way I mean it to, but damaged in some way because of the injury. And so they become tired and fatigued very quickly because of that.
Wow. Well, You got that now, everybody. Contact Nettie to help get organized, and then you're going to call Brian to get your insurance covered and all that, and let Sarah decorate your house. And she'll do whatever. So cooking, right? You do cooking too?
No.
I'm sorry. When you first started, you said that basically we do everything. Isn't that what she said?
Well, that is everything.
No, that's what I. Yeah, that's what I heard. I'm tired of cooking.
I think it was pretty well. Okay. Painting the paving, cooking falls in there. I get it. No. Yeah. I don't like to cook at my own house.
Anything that has to do with your house, not your specific...
Not your services.
Yeah, not your right. services. Thank you.
Oh.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So you just come build me a barbecue pit?
Yes.
Because, you know, three grills aren't enough, so I need a stationary one.
So I agree. Big enough, enough to put a full pig in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I could... Yeah. I keep... Yeah. One of these days. My in-laws bought me a beautiful smoker, offset smoker. It's big enough you can fit a suckling on there. And my brother-in-law wants me to smoke a pig really bad. So It's like, well, I may have to get a bigger one. But I've been watching these other guys online, the barbecue pit boys.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. If I had a ton of money, my wife would probably kill me because I'd be buying all the grills they have on there.
Just have them lined up in the backyard. Yeah.
Well, you don't understand. You see, when you're in the house, you have your stovetop, you have your oven, you got your microwave. So you could, cook different things. When you have a grill, you got to have more than one. So it's like... Never mind, that's another subject. Mm-hmm. Anybody got anything to add? Sarah's getting me in trouble here. Anybody got anything to add before we wrap this up?
No.
I appreciate you having us out here.
Yeah.
What I'll do is I'll have links to your websites, too,
okay, in
the notes so everybody can... Well, you got two websites now.
I know. Have to pick and choose.
Yours, I still have your website. Yeah, Sarah. Do you have two websites now, too, or just the one? Still just the one?
Just the one for right now. I have a countdown on the other one. I have to have it done by January 1st.
Well, what are you waiting on?
I'm just not real motivated to do another website. I feel like I put everything I had into the one we have. I don't feel like I have anything to say. So,
are you trying to tell us you're not organized at all for the other website yet?
No. I'm organized. I just don't have anything to give it. No, I'm working on that.
So, once you get it up, let me know.
Okay.
I want to thank you all for coming out. Once again, if you would like to be on the Harford County Living Podcast, just email us at podcast@harfordcountyliving.com. It's free to come on. We encourage all organizations, businesses, hell, even people that live in Harford County to come on and just talk about it.
Thank you, Rich.
Thank you.
It's almost that time of year once again. That's right. Santa Claus is coming back to Joppatown on Sunday, December 10th at the Joppatown High School for the annual Joppatown Lions Club Breakfast with Santa and Holiday Bazaar. There will also be local craft vendors on site, so you can do your shopping while you and your kids, of course, are eating breakfast. Tickets are only $10 a piece, and children 5 and under are free. And you may buy tickets either at the door or online at JoppatownLionsClub.org. That's Joppatown with an E. They got a full menu: pancakes, waffles, bacon, sausage, eggs, juice, milk. You name it, they're probably going to have it. So make sure you make it down there. I also understand there's going to be some crafts for the kids to make. So once again, come to the annual Breakfast with Santa and Holiday Bazaar, sponsored by the Joppatown Lions Club, on Sunday, December 10th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Joppatown High School.